Well, tonight, this is maybe a more unusual message from my perspective because I don't do too many topical messages, but this is a topical message. And we're going to start in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, if you would turn there with me. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. Says here, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So we'll stop there. Tonight we're going to be talking about biblical hospitality. I think, first of all, I'll make a disclaimer. I think this church is really good at hospitality. All right, so it's just felt like the message the Lord wanted me to preach, really more of a teaching lesson, so certainly not trying to prompt anybody or anything like that or get any free steak dinners or anything like that out of it, although I'm not opposed to free steak dinners, I'll say that. But biblical hospitality, and one of the things that, I don't know, as I've been thinking on this the past couple of weeks is really we've been in so many different churches, and they are so hospitable and they're so kind to us, that I thought it would just be a good reminder for us to see what hospitality is and how the Bible defines it and what it really looks like from the Bible is just really a way and a means of encouraging us to continue in our hospitality. So we have here chapter 13, verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Well, if you've ever talked with a missionary and asked them where they have stayed from place to place, you'll probably hear some interesting stories about some interesting places, interesting prophets' chambers, that kind of thing. And that all kind of falls under, hospitality. And it's always kind of interesting to me, the person who asks the question. You can kind of tell where they might be going when they ask the question. Like if I ask the question, it's probably because I'm looking to hear, kind of an entertaining story of some interesting place that someone stayed in. But if a pastor's wife asks Carrie that question, it's because she's, genuinely concerned about our well-being. And so that's, I don't know, depending on who asks the questions, it can be a really nice question to be asked. We know of a couple of hotels where we stayed and we've gotten off the elevator and we walked to the second floor or something like that, and then woof, this interesting illegal scent in some states kind of wafts over you, and so that's kind of interesting. The hotel rooms will be clean, but there's somebody in the hall down there doing something they probably shouldn't be doing, and you're hoping your clothes don't smell like that when you walk into the church the next morning, right? So things like that, they can kind of all play into hospitality. But what is hospitality? Like, how do you define that? It's such a broad category, in a sense. I think we all know it when we see it, what genuine hospitality is looking like in the moment when it's being portrayed. But I think it's kind of difficult to define. So this is how I've defined it here, just kind of a variety of things put together. But genuine hospitality is difficult to describe, but easy to spot. It includes warmth in greeting, conveying a sense of acceptance and inclusion, meeting personal needs in a personal way, right? We recognize that if somebody just meets your needs in a rather impersonal way, that's more or less them probably trying to get you out of their hair or something like that. But meeting personal needs in a personal way. And a couple other things that we know about hospitality. Of course, sharing a meal together is a big part of that. It offers fellowship and invitation to deeper relationships. Requires no reciprocation, but often encourages hospitable feelings in others. You can kind of get that from the Sermon on the Mount, right? Jesus is teaching his disciples, don't invite the rich and wealthy, just invite the people who can't repay you into your home, and then you'll receive a blessing from the Father. Interesting that he says that about hospitality in that sense. Hospitality joyfully displays God's love, grace, and mercy through service, and often leaves both the recipient and the host with a feeling of satisfaction and refreshment, and not of obligation or burden. In many ways, hospitality is like a free will offering of our best to God, where others receive the benefits. And so that is a couple of the thoughts I had about hospitality. How does the Bible define hospitality? First of all, we see here in Hebrews chapter 13, hospitality really is at its core brotherly love, an expression of brotherly love. Verse number one here, let brotherly love continue. Shouldn't be a surprise to you that the phrase brotherly love comes from phileo, or the same root that we get Philadelphia, right? City of brotherly love. That's the root word of brotherly love that is there. So literally a description of hospitality right there. And of course, it is a command to let that continue. So we're to let hospitality be prosperous in our lives. It should be a regular characteristic of our lives. It's also commanded again in the following verse here. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Again, entertain strangers. That particular phrase there is literally the definition of hospitality given in the Bible. If you look up the word hospitality in other places in the Bible, that's the definition you're going to get. Also from the same root word, phileo, there. So that I thought that was pretty interesting in that regard, too. So you see there, again, a second command that we're to not forget to pursue this thing called hospitality. And some people have entertained angels unaware. My Bible gives a footnote there, Genesis 18:3, talking about Abraham when he entertained the angels and the Lord there. I don't know that he didn't know that they were angels. I kind of get the feeling that he knew who they were. But it's interesting that the Bible, or at least my Bible, there's a little comment on that. And we'll look at that interaction here just a little bit. But let her be here. Hospitality is brotherly love that we must extend to brothers, that is family, but especially to strangers. Again, that little phrase there, to entertain strangers there, is literally the definition of hospitality. 1 Peter 4:9, we find this same phrase translated as hospitality, again from that word phileo. In other words, we need to be careful not to forget about loving and taking care of guests. And it seems simple at first to love and take care of guests until we realize that the love and care that we're supposed to give towards those guests is this brotherly love, this Christian type of love. And if you know how Christ loved people, that can be a challenge when you take the biblical concept of love and start applying it towards hospitality and loving your guests and those that come into your life that are in need of hospitality. And it can be a challenge, I think, sometimes to be hospitable, especially depending on circumstances, what your schedule may be like, and all of those types of things. One author had made a couple of comments about hospitality in 1 Peter 4:9 on that particular verse. Says there that we are to show hospitality without regarding the expense. And he also stated one of the duties involved in hospitality is to make the guest happy. And this can be done in no other way than by showing him that he is welcome, right? I walked into a coffee store one day and I walked right up to the counter. They were fairly busy, but I waited there at the counter for probably a good 10 minutes. Like, I'm not even joking, probably a good 10 minutes. And nobody at the coffee shop behind the counter like even acknowledged that I was standing there, or even a real person. So that didn't make me feel like I was an invited guest or welcome, right? It also didn't make me inclined to want to spend any money there. But I was there getting coffee for my wife, so I stayed. And eventually, I got some coffee for her, and then she was thankful, and that made up for it. So, interesting. But I think we all can recognize the fact that hospitality is really one of those lost arts in our American society, and really in professions as a whole. And it's something that is lacking, and I think it's really sad. You know, just the means of being hospitable has kind of gone by the wayside. And other cultures, other countries, hospitality is a really big deal. And we'll see some examples of that later on. But letter D, hospitality is a gift of God's grace. Hospitality is a gift of God's grace. 1 Peter 4, 9 through 10. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards to the manifold grace of God. So from this text, it appears that hospitality is a gift of grace that God gives some people more than others. That doesn't mean that you should never practice it if you don't feel like you have a gifting of hospitality. You know, it's saying that you should use the gift as you have received the grace. And we should be good stewards of that, good stewards of really expressing the grace that God has given to us as we show hospitality onto other people there. So I think that's a pretty interesting aspect of that, is that it is a gift that we are given so we can thereby show others grace through that. Letter E here, hospitality is a sacrifice worthy of our Lord. It is a sacrifice worthy of our Lord. Hebrews 13, 16 says this, "But to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." Hospitality is certainly a good thing. It takes work, and God considers genuine hospitality a sweet sacrifice to him. On a recent trip up to Virginia, we had been up in Virginia probably for, I don't know, a week or so. And on our way home, we hadn't even got home yet, I got a call from a relative of mine. And he said, "Hey, where are you guys at? I'm at your house. I'm going to stay for a few days." And we're like, "Oh, thank you for letting us know." It's like, "Yeah, where are you?" "Well, we're actually on our way home. We'll be back in a couple hours. Well, sorry, you'll have to wait for us to catch up," right? Was it the most convenient time for that person to come and pay us a visit? No, it wasn't. But were we thankful that we had an opportunity to be hospitable and share God's grace with him and perhaps have an opportunity to share the gospel with him? Yes, we were. We know that particular relative isn't saved. And so we were thankful for that opportunity to at least try to, again, show him some of that grace and truth that is in our lives and live out that example before him. But certainly hospitality can have its inconveniences from time to time. Let's go ahead and turn to Genesis 18 here, the story of Abraham. Genesis 18. Starting in verse number 1, Genesis 18, verse 1, we'll read down here to verse 5. "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, 'My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant.' And they said, 'So do as thou hast said.'" So here's the interaction of Abraham meeting with the angels and with the Lord. And a couple of things that I saw in this in regards to hospitality is that hospitality often starts with unseen preparation, doesn't it? Typically, the host doesn't see those unseen preparations, but Abraham, he was a wealthy man. He would have had materials and things and food set aside ready that he could call at a moment's notice and have prepared quickly for guests when they arrived. And even today, hospitality takes a lot of work and preparation in some cases. And so I think that's something that often goes unnoticed, but certainly a very important part of hospitality that starts with the preparation. Carrie had a student in one of her classes in Korea who felt very welcomed and cared for in her class simply because Carrie took the time to change her bulletin board and update it regularly and spent a little extra money on the theme and that kind of thing. And so we see that even the environment and preparation of the environment itself can lend a lot towards hospitality. And that student felt like Carrie really cared for them because she took the time to do that for her students. So a lot of unseen preparation, and that particular student noticed that, and it meant a lot to them. So we recognize that. But let her be here. It often involves a proper welcome and a customary greeting, right? When we greet one another, we typically give the old handshake there, or maybe a fist bump or air high five, post-COVID type of stuff there. But it's pretty interesting that different countries and groups and cultures have formalities in ways that they greet one another. One of the military customs and courtesies is what we call it. It's literally codified in a giant manual. This is how you interact with other military people, right? That's what that is the salute. So a salute is a formal greeting of an enlisted officer or sometimes officer to officer. It could be enlisted to enlisted member, but usually not. But there's some rules for it on how you're supposed to do a proper salute. So an enlisted military member is required to salute an officer first when both are in uniform, walking towards each other within about six paces of each other. And then the enlisted member must first come to the position of attention before he salutes. Then he must salute first and hold the salute until the officer acknowledges and returns the salute. And once the officer drops his salute, then the enlisted member can drop his salute after that. And then they part ways. And typically there's some kind of verbal greeting given during that period as well. So it's codified how we interact with people. In Asian cultures, greetings are a huge deal. If you don't greet someone in the right way, that can be extremely offensive to them. I remember when I was deployed to Qatar, they told me when I stepped off the plane, do not greet anybody with your left hand. That is a tremendous insult. Do not do that. All right, strap that hand on my back, right? In Korea, traditionally, you don't pass money from hand to hand. That's considered rude. You got to put it in a little tray and then pass the tray to the person who's going to take the money. You don't just pass it hand to hand. And most of the time, if they're handling money a lot in Korea, they're going to be wearing gloves. It's just how they do things there. It's a thing about respect. Some other countries, the way you point your feet or the soles of your feet, you need to be careful about that. It can be something that you need to consider. So it's a big deal how you greet someone. When someone walks through the front door of our church, how do we greet them, right? That's a big deal. It's an important thing for us to think about. What else did Abraham do? Well, he provided food and shelter, a place for his guests to rest. And this was a big deal as well. Pastor has said it many times, when people sat down during this time, it was very much a form of agreement or understanding or even making a covenant with one another when they were willing to eat with one another. And an important thing about that as well. Remember the parable about the guy who didn't have food for his guest, illustrating prayer there in the parable? But that's how important hospitality was in the Jewish culture, that he would go and wake up his neighbor. He wasn't scared or worried about offending his neighbor. He was worried about offending his guest. Pretty interesting there. Another aspect of hospitality is providing sanctuary and safety. Remember when the angels left Abraham, they went to Lot, and Lot tried to provide them with that sense of security, and of course he wasn't really able to, but that was part of what hospitality entailed, and it really does go a long ways even today. There was a church that we recently went to, and a lady took the time to take Carrie not only to the nursery, but to very carefully go over all of the safety protocols and security things. And Carrie really appreciated that. She felt really comfortable that our kids were going to be safe in that nursery. So that can go a long ways as well. And then, of course, letter E, preparation for the next leg of travel. And there are a lot of New Testament scriptures that I could give you for this particular aspect. I'll just give you one, Acts 21:5. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went on our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, knelt down on the shore, and prayed. So even bringing a person along quite a ways on their journey is a big deal. Ever pick somebody up or drop somebody off at the airport? Form of hospitality, right? And I'm sure that person was very thankful that you were willing to do that. Well, why is hospitality important? Well, it's because it reveals God's character to others through the way that we interact and act towards them. It is a means of reflecting God's grace and mercy to others. God gives grace to us that we might display his grace to others. God chose the people of Israel not because of anything special about them, but rather he just wanted to show grace to them. Really, a form of hospitality in that. He celebrates the salvation of souls in heaven and those kinds of things. He rejoices in showing grace and mercy, and that's just his character, who he is. Hospitality was pretty important to the Lord. Leviticus 19:34, he codified some of that hospitality as well. But the stranger that dwelleth among you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. Again, that idea of reflecting back to others what God has shown to us, that grace and mercy. I am the Lord your God, Leviticus 19:34 there. Several other verses throughout the book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus that speak to hospitality as well. Another aspect of hospitality, it often reveals our own hearts to us. Well, how do we see that? You remember the story of Zacchaeus, right? And the interaction that Jesus had with him. And what happened? Zacchaeus' heart was revealed through that process. Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' house, right? You typically don't invite yourself over somewhere, but in this case, Jesus did. And he did it for Zacchaeus' best interest and helped to reveal what was really going on in Zacchaeus' heart. And I'm sure that he was thankful of that. We can think of other interactions too, like Mary and Martha. You could do probably a pretty good case study in that one all by itself there. But Martha was very busied with hospitality, and yet it would have been time better spent with the Lord as he was there. So we see that balance too as we study it out there. We see that God highly values hospitality. He so values hospitality that he says in Mark 9:41, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward." Pretty interesting. God views hospitality so strongly that he is wanting to reward such actions. God set hospitality as one of the requirements for those in ministry. 1 Timothy 3:2, "A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach." And we also see that same command given in Titus 1:8 there. And what we can see from that verse about a bishop is that Brother Bishop's going to invite us over for dinner, right? No. I had to get some laughs out of y'all somehow. It's getting a little late. We'll wrap it up here in just a couple minutes. One of the opportunities that we occasionally have is we get to go and visit with pastors. And probably some of the best memories that we have is when the pastor's older children come and voluntarily offer to watch our kids. And then for once in a blue moon, Carrie and I can actually have real adult conversations without having to worry about the kids with the pastor and his wife. And that is a tremendous blessing. And we do really love our kids and we love being around them. But once in a while, it's nice to have some, I guess, normal conversation, you know, up here. And not, Daddy, I can't get my shoes on, and I can't find my socks, and she's poking me, and all that kind of stuff. Because that happens, too, mostly in the car, right? But genuine hospitality has the potential to change lives, has the potential to change lives. We looked at this a couple mission conferences ago now, but a fellow helper of the truth, and that was all done through hospitality there, right? Also, the idea, again, given in the Sermon on the Mount of heaping coals upon the head of your enemy, that idea of hospitality there. Through hospitality, we can see God's blessing and answered prayers. I think about Elisha and the woman that had set up the chamber for him to come by, and eventually she had some prayers answered simply through the route of her being hospitable and opened the door for those things. Hospitality is often the unseen engine behind ministry and ministry expectations. And I hadn't really thought about hospitality in this way before I did this study, but a lot of what we do with ministry revolves around hospitality and hospitality expectations, especially when we think about visitors coming to church, right? When you go to visit a new church, there are some expectations about their hospitality that you're probably going to have. You expect a friendly greeting. You expect somebody to introduce you to the pastor and his wife. You expect somebody to show you around where you need to go and get you to the classes and the services on time. Those are some reasonable expectations. And when those expectations aren't met, right, you tend to walk away feeling, well, this church wasn't all that friendly. This church wasn't all that hospitable. They didn't help me get to where I needed to go. They just kind of left me hanging out there, you know? So that can really have an impact in somebody's view of a church and how we're hospitable to people in that sense there. That's often how they're going to judge or gauge the entire ministry is based on those initial interactions that they have. If hospitality is the engine of ministry, or one of the engines of ministry, then that engine has to run on a fuel, and that fuel would be faith and compassion. So those things go into hospitality, and we can, I think, see that a lot of instances where Christ was moved with compassion towards a certain thing. And there are a couple scriptural examples of that. But 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, and 3 here, this is what we have. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Again, these particular people really going out of the way to take care of Paul and his fellow ministers during that time, being hospitable towards them and really showing compassion and faith in those things as well. Hospitable people are compassionate people. That's one of the takeaways that I got from that. So we made it to the conclusion. I know I was through a lot at you there, but I really wanted to get through it. This is 7 pages of notes, by the way. I had a fun time typing it up. But take time to contact and encourage others. Not about simply being busy for a guest, right? That was Martha's issue there. Remember, hospitality is to be an expression of brotherly love. So don't be busy. Don't be so busy that you're overlooking taking the time to actually listen to your guest, which I believe was the issue that Martha had there. There's no way to overstate how much this means to people, taking the time to listen to them. A tremendous part about the way we interact and show hospitality one towards another. We should practice hospitality both in and out of our homes. And when guests are or are not present, you can practice on your family members. I'm sure they won't complain, although they may be suspicious, right? If my child starts acting really nicely, I will probably be a little bit suspicious of that. You know, on the way here, I had another thought about that. Children, you are a family member of your home, and not to lessen that family relationship there, but in many ways, you're also like a guest too, right? Your parents are there being hospitable to you and taking care of you and providing housing for you and food and all of those things, and they love being able to do that for you. But that just maybe is another way that you can look at that picture a little bit. But some interesting thoughts there on hospitality. Hospitality is, you know, one of the ways that we can fulfill the law, the second greatest commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. I believe it's one of the hallmarks of the believer there. We have about 5 minutes by that clock there. So who wants to give an example, don't everybody volunteer at once, of good or bad hospitality that you may have experienced yourself and something that you perhaps learned from that interaction? Yes, ma'am.
Is this okay? Now it's working.
It's working.
I'll start for the third time. When Wes and I had moved and we're looking for a new church, we, at the time, we had 8 children, probably 12 years old and under, living at home, and we would go visit different churches, and that was back when the internet was fairly new, and Wes found out there were over 100 churches within 7 miles of the house we lived in at the time that we were moving to. And that was really something. Actually, it was our last house, not the house we're in now, but we lived the same distance from here, so we're still here. But anyway, the first time, when we would go to churches, keep in mind, I didn't have Isaac yet, but there were 9 of us together, and we would go into some very small churches, and some that were a little bit larger, but there were times where nobody would speak to us. Mm. And it's not like they couldn't see us, you know? So we were like, right. Is it us or is it them, you know? So we would just like immediately check that church off because they didn't even, the pastor didn't welcome us, nobody came up to us. You know, we had to kind of bumble around to find where we were going and everything. But the first time, I'm gonna try to make this brief, I won't take up all 5 of your minutes, but whenever Wes came and visited here, for some reason, I took one of our daughters, Emily, and we went to a different church, and I can't remember the circumstances, but he came here, and then Emily and I went somewhere else. When Emily and I were at the other church, she kept pulling on my sleeve and saying, "We need to leave." And I said, "But we haven't even met the pastor." She goes, "We need to leave." And she was probably 7 or so. I said, "Why?" And she said, "Daddy wouldn't let us listen to music like this at home." And I'm like, "You know, you're right." So anyway, so we got up and left. But Wes had come here in the morning, and that's when we had an evening service. So he said, I think you would really like that church, and the music was great, and, you know, we should go. So we came, and he said we were rolling in like 5:56 or whatever time it was, and he said, "It was really full this morning, but I don't think, I guess everybody came back because the whole entire parking lot was full," and we were still in the brick building at that time for services. But anyway, but we just had so many people interact with us that very first meeting, and to be honest, we never visited anywhere else. We just joined a few weeks later at Emmanuel and it was at Warren. So how that affected me is I always try to greet visitors with people I don't know when I see them in the congregation.
Mm. Very good. Yes, sir. Right over here. Put your hand up, Gabe, so they can see you. Deputation very much is hospitality driven. I don't know what we would do without hospitable people during that whole process.
I'd say one of the greatest times of hospitality I've ever experienced is coming here to Emmanuel and coming to the youth group. When we started coming here, a lot of times as a missionary kid, a third culture kid, they don't know exactly how to interact with you because, you know, you're a missionary kid, you're a super Christian, you're from a weird culture, you know, we don't know much about you, so we're just going to, you know, treat you like a superhero, or we're going to, you know, stay in our little clique and just let the pastor take care of you. That was not the case here. The case here was I was just one of them. That just, you know, you're another team. Let's have some fun together. Let's, you know, listen to God's word. And it was just amazing to be able to just be treated like a normal kid for once. And it's just, you know, just wonderful hospitality that they treated me like they treated each other, and they treated each other like they, like, in a Christ-like manner.
Very good. I mean, time for one more, and then I think we'll be done for the evening here.
Mine's just a funny one. We had people a lot at our house. We would host even missionaries. We had a bedroom for them and such. But if I would make lasagna, my kids would go, "Who's coming over?"
Very good, very good. All right. Well, I think that's about all the time we have for tonight. So I'll go ahead and pray, and then we will be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word and just the practicality of it. I pray that you would be with us all as we go home tonight. And I pray that you continue to be watching over Pastor Ogle and his wife as well. I pray these things in your name. Amen. Thank you.